The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Monday, 13th day of July, 2020. Down here in 105 degree heat in Central Texas and Round Rock City Council, tells you you've got to wear a mask and social distance and wash your hands because we can. And they have. This is not law, folks. This is a city council. These are bureaucrats, elected bureaucrats, I might add, making decisions on your future. Amazing. What month, Mike, are we into on this one? 4 months now? Has anybody ever heard of a flu pandemic spreading in the middle of summer? No. On today's program, you may have noticed on our webpage, and I have posted this for a number of years, Brass Check TV. Now, Ken McCarthy runs that. He also has another site, and I'll let him speak about that. For all you jazz lovers out there, and Steve Elkins, if you're listening today, go to that guy's site. It's the most complete jazz videos, you name it. It's on that site. At any rate, without further ado, Ken McCarthy from Brass Check TV. How you doing, Ken?
Good, thank you. Not quite as hot here, but it's a hot day for us.
Well, I'm looking at the birds down here in Texas. Ken, it gets so damn hot, the birds run around with their beaks agape. They're panting. They're so hot.
Wow.
And we've got the politicians down here telling us that this COVID-19, we've got to take steps to eradicate and beat this. What do you suppose they're going to be doing in the fall and then going into winter of this year? Do you think we're done with this COVID thing?
Well, the whole thing is a mystery wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a scam. It looks like they're just going to keep pushing this as long as they possibly can, without end, I'm afraid. I'm coming to that conclusion lately.
Well, and if we notice the timeline, there's a lot of stuff that was thrown at us. Going back to 2016, we had the Russia hoax. Oh, Russia was colluding and to throw the elections. And then we had the global warming thing prior to that, but that was still on kind of the front burner. And then we switched from the global warming to the COVID crisis. And in the middle of the COVID crisis, we now have BLM and Antifa and people running around, irresponsible people, they're not responsible for anything, running around destroying property, shooting people, you name it. And then we've got the liberal, and I don't know what has happened to city government or county government or even state governments in this respect. Defund the police? Ken, I'm not absolutely in love with the police, but I don't hate them either. I understand that they have a role. But these people, criminals, the only reason why the Seattle six block, we created our own nation, was shut down is the mayor finally had to shut it down because there was a couple of black kids murdered.
Yeah, pretty predictable result, by the way, when you allow lunatics to take over multiple city blocks.
Well, well, I caution people. People wanted to declare these people from Antifa and Black Lives Matter terrorists. And I caution people. I said, be careful of that. Because the powers that be would like to see both ends of the political spectrum kind of hacked off. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get rid of the more egregious, dangerous left wing. But most assuredly, let's get rid of the most egregious and, you know, right wing. So let's narrow that little thing down. And I told people, I said, be careful what you ask for. Because when they were busy passing terrorism laws, Ken, everything that's stated, any crime, whether you commit a crime against an individual that happens to be a federal employee, or you do damage to a federal facility, or whatever the case may be, there are laws on the books already for that.
Right.
And I did not see it necessary for the new the National Defense Authorization Act, where they slid in there that, we've got a new way of handling terrorists. We just declare them that. And what we can do is just go arrest them. There's no warrants needed. We don't have to tell the family they've been arrested. They don't get a phone call to call a lawyer. They don't get anything. They are extracted from this country, might be sent overseas, never to be seen or heard from again. And does this strike you as being a sane thing? Or even we've been taught to respect the process of law here in this country. Your thoughts on that one?
Well, you know, we allowed it because it was mostly happening to people that we don't know, and in among communities of people we don't know, you know, immigrant communities, Muslims, you know, people that just aren't on our personal radar. And this same pattern of allowing government abuse of, well, for lack of a better word, we'll call them disenfranchised minorities. And by that, I mean people that they're not mainstream. They're not well organized. They don't have a lot of resources. They don't command the press. And so these forces, these government forces, have been practicing on those kind of communities. And not only with the bogus terrorism label, but they also do it under the medical arena. And so this has absolute 100% applicability to what's going on right now. There have been populations in the United States that have been targeted for medical abuse, and we have tolerated it, and now we are in the gun sights as well. And that's how I look at what's going on now. They've been practicing a lot of this stuff for decades, and now it's showtime, and they're doing it on the largest scale imaginable.
You'd put out a video of Harry Vox, journalist. By the way, is Harry from New York by any chance?
He looks like it, yeah. I mean, I get that feel. He seems like an East Village guy, you know, from the old East Village days. And it looks like New York public access TV. I don't know him.
I do. I met him during the 2004 Republican National Convention. We ended up on a cigarette boat out on the Hudson in front of the Statue of Liberty. And evidently that was taboo because we had the Coast Guard come out in two boats armed with 50 caliber machine guns manned on the bows of the boat, wondering what we were doing there. And it was like, and Vox handled it beautifully. He took us to dinner later on. But I looked at that guy and I thought, I know that guy.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's Harry. Harry Vox. He wanted my press credentials from Fox, so he could storm the floor at the Republican National Convention. I wouldn't give it to him. I told him no. That would have gotten too many people that gave me the press passes in trouble.
That's right.
At any rate, you've been doing this for how long now?
Well, I started Brass Check as a demonstration project in 1997. My real career business has been internet innovation. I was one of the original pioneers of the commercialization of the internet starting in 1993. And I actually hosted and organized the very first conference on that subject in San Francisco in 1994. And I became very interested in a lot of different things because, you know, it was wide open in those days. You know, anything you could imagine was new. And one of the things I was interested in was local publishing. Because, you know, there's a certain economics that makes local news gathering expensive, you know, public printing newsprint and distributing it and so on. So I saw a great potential for local communities to have their own web-based news outlets and really report the local stories that were so important. So I started reporting as a demonstration what one could do with the web in San Francisco if one really cared about the news and reporting. My greatest story was documenting a blatant election fraud in 1997, and that's when I started Brass Check. I hoped that that professional journalists would look at what I was doing with the web and say, hey, we could do this too. But I then discovered that, no, if you're a professional journalist, you see which way the wind is blowing, and you only report on the stories that your editor and publisher want you to report on. And at that time, nobody wanted to talk about election fraud in the San Francisco elections, not conservatives, not liberals, not even radicals. people just weren't interested in that topic by decree. Anyway, that's Brass Check has been a sideline, but from time to time, like when 9/11 happened, I got very interested in documenting that. I believe I was one of the first people, along with the head of Soviet air defense, or I guess it was Russian air defense, who that morning said, "This is impossible. What just happened cannot happen because U.S. has an air defense system and planes cannot fly around willy-nilly for hours without them being intercepted." So anyway, I was on that. Before we invaded Iraq, I put out a message saying, if we invade Iraq, it's going to be worse than 1,000 Belfasts. And I thought I was exaggerating, but I did the math, and in fact, it was worse than 1,000 Belfasts. And now here we are with this COVID con, the crime of the century, if not the millennia. And so this has been absorbing a lot of my time and attention.
I understand. It's been, it's captured the nation's attention, but not for the right reasons. I'm still seeing people walking around with masks. And what these city councils and county councils are doing, even the state governments, if they're not following the policy or whatever authority they claim that they have to enforce this stuff by statute or whatever, they are telling businesses, no, you will comply, you will make your employees do this, here's the protocol, this is what we're demanding that people do. Now, they're demanding this of owners and the people that patronize their business, but it's really not a law.
Right.
It has not gone through the legislature. These are administrative posts with next to nothing as far as medical experience or anything else goes, making decisions on people's daily lives. First time I believe that has happened in this country. And I've been talking a lot to store owners. They fired this, I guess, in California. Newsom just ordered all restaurants to be shut down again. So anybody that was making a buck that thought that they could see the light at the end of the tunnel, now that's the oncoming train that's going to run you over. If you survive so far, chances are you're not going to survive the second go around. I've never seen anything like this. This has made it real difficult to do radio because on a daily basis, and we've been doing this now for going on 4 months, every single damn day, getting on air and countering their BS.
Right.
And they've got bags of BS to throw at us, new bags of bull to throw at us every single day.
Yep. It's war. It's war. They're shooting at us from a different direction every day. And they're hoping to wear us down.
You hit upon something right there. I've been reading articles lately about the psychological aspect of this. I mean, on people's psyche. I don't even know how to describe this, Ken. They don't know what to think. They don't know what to believe. The last couple of days here, because it's been so damned hot down here in Texas, I've been asking people. I'll just, do you mind if I ask you a question? No, you know, if you can hear them behind their mask. And I ask them, do you think wearing a mask is necessary? When was the last time you heard of a flu pandemic in Texas in the middle of summer when it's 105 degrees? And they just look at you like that thought hadn't even occurred to them. One guy yesterday in a fast food line, he looked at me and just shrugged his shoulders and he goes, gee, I don't know. Here's the man sitting in his car, 105 degrees ambient air temperature, wearing a mask, and he doesn't know why he's doing it.
Yeah, I had a conversation with an educated person, theoretically, a professional, and he said, well, I don't understand the science. I'm just doing what they tell me. And that seems to be the good enough for the vast majority of Americans. You know, I always remember this statistic, which is when America was young, even before we were a country, 90% of the people that lived here were self-employed. And the only people that actually had jobs were, you know, agents of the British Empire. Everybody else was a working person that had to make things and do things in order to put bread on the table. Mm-hmm. Well, now that number is reversed. 90% of the population has a job. And I think over half the population works for an organization of 500 people or more. So we have a totally different mentality in this country than what it was like when it was founded. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, a lot of people are being told that, you know, if you don't take these tests, you're no longer welcome as an employee, which is a very disturbing development. But I will say this, there was some testing of this insanity last year in 2018. I live in the Hudson Valley, as you know, and we have a lot of different counties, and we have a county called Rockland, and which is fairly near New York City, about 40-minute drive, half hour, not too far. And the county executive declared that no child who has not been vaccinated for measles may leave his or her home. They may not only may they not go to school, they may not go to the park, they may not go to the supermarket with their moms. They are in permanent quarantine. Now, thank God, you know, a lawyer emerged who sued the county and stopped that nonsense. But here's a man, and I'm not going to disparage his profession. He's a former police officer, but he has no medical training. He has no public health training. And yet he felt comfortable to assume the role of medical dictator.
Well, tell me his name. I'll disparage him. You're too damn polite. They're burning our damn country down here, Ken.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. But if he was the county executive when this happened, and he's still the county executive. So if you look up county executive of Rockland County, that's the guy. And he was a pioneer. You know, he was a forerunner. And now we have thousands of these people all over the country doing similar things around COVID. And as you point out, they have no medical training. They have no public health training. Even here in New York, you know, we have a governor.
Is that what you're calling him up there?
It's beyond belief. And he has a public health official. And this guy, you know, he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Not the governor maybe as well. I don't know. But the guy who's heading up public health for New York State and advising our governor is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He has no training in public health at all. He's an anesthesiologist with a specialty in pediatric cardiology. So, you know, doctors are not interchangeable. In other words, you know, you get training in a certain thing and you're knowledgeable about that. And if anybody doubts me, next time you need an open heart surgery, call up a podiatrist and see if he'll take a stab at it. So the idea of having a public health official for a state as significant as New York who has no public health training whatsoever is mind-boggling.
All righty, we've got to take a break here. We've got Ken McCarthy from BrassCheck.com. It's BrassCheck TV, the website, BrassCheck.com. You'll find all kinds of gems, ladies and gentlemen, on that site. We'll be back in three. This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five. As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens. By the way, Ken, you mentioned the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, its sister group, the Roundtable, over to England. This little group of just business leaders and people in the media and politicians and all kinds of people. And their objective was to form the New World Order and to make that transition, as comfortable as possible for them. And talking about this COVID-19, do you think they could have gotten away with this, say, in the last generation, say, 30 years ago? Do you think they would have been able to pull this off?
30 years ago would have put us in 1990.
Yeah.
It probably would have been harder. I think they've been trying it and working at it and experimenting with it. For instance, if you look at what they did with Ebola, the hysteria they created over that, the hysteria they created over Zika. I don't know if people aren't aware, but Tony Fauci, declared a national emergency and had a special session with the Joint Chiefs of Staff to help defend America's shores against the Zika virus. I have video of that. They pulled off a huge fraud with swine flu. So they've been, and of course AIDS, the whole AIDS thing is the Uber fraud previous to this one, of course. So they've been working at this in a sense, they have pulled it off, and they pulled it off again with what I was talking about earlier with disenfranchised minorities, let's say, or groups without power. So they've been doing some pretty diabolical things under cover of medicine to limited parts of the population, and now they're just doing it to us all. But it has a history. It has a, like, they didn't just cook this up for this. They've been playing at this for decades now.
Well, I have posted on the website, there was a story about the 10 scams that the federal government pulled off by actually testing, not to their knowledge, of course, all sorts of things on groups of Americans. And, you know, to them, better give 100 lives to save 1,000 is kind of the thinking. But they tell you, Ken, that, well, we got a pandemic. I call it the plandemic. We're doing this for safety reasons. We have been sold the safety reasons for so many years. You mentioned going into the Middle East. Why did we do that? Oh, well, we had terrorists over there. We had people that were heads of countries that were making nuclear weapons or doing this or doing that. And we invaded. And then, then we had to take extraordinary measures here in this country to protect ourselves against the possible terrorism events that may happen on U.S. soil. Well, that would have not have been possible had we not gone in there and fought the proxy wars for Israel. Trump, to his credit, has left Syria alone.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad to see him do that, because Syria is the only country over there, to my knowledge, it's got Arabs, it's got Jews, it's got different types of people. They're all living in relative peace within that country. But that was one of the 7 that had to be taken down. But yet it still stands. Now we've recommitted somewhat on Afghanistan. Trump has been signaling he wants to get the hell out of Afghanistan. That's a good idea. The better idea would have been, Ken, not to go into the Middle East to begin with. What we were fed was a carefully crafted line of, gosh, I wished I could say this word on air, but I don't want to set the example to my listeners. But it was total BS. Total. Whether it was, yellow cake in front of the United Nations, whether it didn't matter. We had George Bush selling this. Today I caught the news, and forgive me, folks, I didn't get the retired general's name, but, China, China is really, really dangerous, and China might be doing more things to us than you may even know about. And they're talking sanctions now. They're whipping up the war machine to possibly go in between China and Japan. I am feeling more, they're trying to give me security. The more they try to give me their security, the more insecure I really feel, Ken.
Yeah. And this COVID con is the best example of it. They're trying to keep everybody safe.
Well, and this general actually said today that, well, we suspect the Chinese of being behind Black Lives Matter.
Ah.
And I'm looking at this and I'm going, you old tired war fart, you shut up. Just stop it. Stop it. Where's the FBI been? We've known that George Soros has been funding Black Lives Matter for a very long time.
Well, there was just an announcement today, I believe, that he's putting another 100 million or 200 million in. I mean, public announcement, no investigative reporting needed. He just put out a press release saying he was going to do it.
Nothing to see here. Just move along.
Oh.
God almighty. Ken McCarthy is my guest this hour. Brass Check TV, brasscheck.com. I can't help myself. Check it out. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I've got to take a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines. In case I need it when I'm older.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, with Ken McCarthy. The website, brasscheck.com, and that's Brass Check TV. How many years you been doing this? I think I asked, and then I forgot to do the math in my head.
1997, so it'd be 23 years.
23 years. That's a while.
And it was never meant to be anything more than a demonstration project. But I keep waiting for real journalists to appear, and it never seems to happen. So.
Oh, no, 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 no. The fad now is to either jail them or kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. Let me see here. Let's go to the telephones. Al in West Virginia. Go ahead, Al.
John, I can barely hear you. I've had this problem with when I've called into other shows, too, for quite a while now. But anyhow, the reason I called in so early, first of all, I want to apologize for doing that. I was wondering if some of the great people that listen to your shows, if they would somebody come up with a good slogan that I can put on a poster board, because I have a beautiful scarecrow I'm going to put a diaper on its face and set it out there by the road. And I don't know. You only have so much room on a poster board to write something, so I need something that's really snappy and understandable.
I don't know about that one. Ken, probably something to more be more apropos, and I do believe this was in upstate New York, 3-4 years ago, where the man was fed up with not getting building permits. They were playing games with him. They kept turning him down. So what he did, he got his chainsaw out, and he carved a big hand with the middle finger extended. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. I don't know, Al, if a diaper on a scarecrow's face is going to do it or not here.
Well, I was just going to put on the poster board, really, or something like that, you know, or
yeah.
I can't breathe, help, or something. You know what I mean? He's going to be holding the big poster board, white poster board.
Well, I'll tell you.
I just thought maybe somebody come up with a pretty good slogan to put on there because I'm kind of, you know, you only have so much room, so.
Well,
but that's all.
I don't know about that. I'm sure that if you just check the memes out there on the internet, I'm sure you'll come up with one. On the Black Lives Matter, the best one I saw was somebody had two Labradors. One was black and the other one was white, and the black one had the sign around his neck that said Black Lives Matter, and then the other one had a little sign around its neck that said, wait a minute, all lives matter. So.
Yeah.
At any rate, good luck with that, Al.
All right, thanks.
All right, who else do I got here? John and Kelly. Oh, boy, you're not allowed to go into restaurants to sit down and eat.
Well.
Hello?
John?
Yes.
Hi, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was on.
Yes.
Happy Monday. Mr. McCarthy, you sound great. I'll check your, as you said, BassCheck.com, I'll check that website out.
Been there for a while.
Anyway, as far as the restaurants go, here in Livermore, where I live in California, they opened up, at least outside. They shut down the main street, and they've had tables and stuff outside for a month. And now they're, like I said, yeah, the governor's talking about closing all down. Well, the city attorney here and the city council, they're questioning that, so they may not do it. So we'll see what happens come this next Friday, this coming Friday. So it's been interesting. People are finally waking up to the point, even though you keep hearing all these, my local neighborhood watch email that, you know, people are just cowering about it. And I just kind of ignore it.
Well, you can ignore it. You can ignore a lot of stuff that's going on in California, but the only thing I'd be doing right now if I were you, I'd be packing my bags, getting the hell out of there. I mean,
I've got some property elsewhere to think about. My wife is kind of iffy, but
well, John, John, I got to be honest with you. You're the man. You're the head of the household. Property prices out there, you can't wait until the whole state falls apart, which it's inevitably going to do because of its stupidity and economics. I mean, it's not going to last. So if I were in your position, I had someplace else I could go, I'd already be there.
I'll check that. Thanks a lot. Good luck, Mr. McCarthy.
Thank you. And you know, this the courts are one of our last resorts. And lawsuits, because you know they can say any amount of nonsense they want, but once you're in court, then the rules of evidence apply, and you can't just make stuff up. So we hope that there'll be a lot of more legal actions, you know, locally, statewide, federal, just you know, waiting for them to happen. Some are occurring. We just need about 1,000 times more.
And the problem here with suing in federal court, you don't know what kind of judge you're going up in front of. And still a lot of these places, now I've heard Trump has replaced a lot of federal judges, and hooray for them. But I still view the federal judges as being the...
she has money.
Well, more or less being the court of the king.
Some are, for sure.
23 years you've been doing this, huh?
Yep.
Well, my friend, you're set to get a whole lot bigger here. Our project that I have not been talking a lot about on air, the Liberty Beacon Project, is underway. We cannot give out any information. This is being released in phases. But, my friend, I can guarantee you, you're going to have a lot bigger exposure here in a very few short weeks.
Okay.
People that have been out there doing it, the problem has been there's been a lot of people doing a lot of good work, but there is not one place that people can go as a repository of information. Straight news done by straight journalists or radio programming of value, news of real value. This is coming. It is coming, and I'm very pleased. I've always been impressed because you crank out, what, 2 videos a day?
Sometimes, yeah, at least one. At least one.
And you've been doing this for 23 years, but you also have something else going. You have another website.
I got a bunch of them, but yeah, one of my other big projects is called Jazz on the Tube. .com. So anybody that likes jazz music, from ragtime to swing to modern, and I know there's a lot of jazz fans in Texas. This is something that I have learned in the last several years. It turns out Texas is a really important part of jazz history. A lot of the great jazz men of all time, like Scott Joplin and others, came out of Texas. But it is one of the largest jazz websites on the internet. We're head-to-head with Downbeat magazine, and that's a project, a fun project. It balances the other one.
I have no other distractions to fill my day up. I've got my hands full as it is right now. I've only been doing this for about 30 years, Ken, and mm-hmm. it's been an interesting endeavor. Any time that we sought to expand, there was always some reason why we couldn't. Something always failed. We had the moles and trolls, which, by the way, has been the downfall of a lot of startups. You make a public announcement, you go out there in public, boom, you got the moles and trolls in there trying to dismantle you before you even build up a head of steam. Well, this time around, we're going to take the upper hand on them, and we're going to build the infrastructure out. There'll be membership even before they have a chance. They're not going to know what hit them. And I've said this over the years. I mean, it's great that everybody wants to get involved. Everybody wants to do a podcast now. They get their little recorders out and they put it on YouTube if they're not thrown off. Or they put it on Patreon or BitChute or something. And everybody's making a contribution. But what I've noticed over the years, Ken, that it has bled off listenership to the network. Instead of coming to a hub of information with 24 different talk show hosts talking about the myriad of subject matter that you can get in a day's broadcast, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, everybody thought that, oh, this is great. I can go out there and I can do my own podcast. I can be involved. Well, you get 10,000, 20,000 people doing this, and you're starting to suck off the energy and the resource from the still remaining. And we are one of, I think, shall I say, 3 viable networks left. Let me just say 2. There used to be a lot more. But since we've gone through the, what did they call that in 2008? The banking, there was a term that was floated around here.
We called it subprime.
Yes, some prime mortgage, but it was a banking. Oh, that's right, crisis, Ken.
Right.
Just like the COVID-19 plandemic here. And did you ever hear a figure? Once this mortgage-backed security took off, and people realized, wait a minute here, They're selling off and repackaging mortgages and selling them up to 20 times in the same property. Many people got loans that, and I was joking, Ken, at one point, going, you know, you can dip a cockroach in an inkwell and then scrabble across the bottom of a contract, they'd accept it. You know,
pretty
I mean,
much.
Yeah, it didn't matter. Everybody had the ability to, you know, go after the American dream, forget about paying for it. But did you ever hear a figure that they released on how much debt the mortgage-backed security scam actually netted?
No, I don't have a figure for that.
Well, I got this straight from a J.P. Morgan manager back in September of 2009. Met him by accident in a gas station in Austin, Texas, down here at the Capitol. And we exchanged some words, and I asked him what he did. His multi-thousand-dollar suit didn't match the little Ford Fiesta rent-a-car he crawled out of. And I figured, you know, this is somebody that I need to talk to. He was interested in the motorcycle I was riding, so we had an exchange. He was down here in Texas to talk to J.P. Morgan Chase managers and try to calm their fears, because by 2009, this thing was really picking up a head of steam. And he told me flat out, I said, my sources have told me that this is between $1 and $1.4 quadrillion.
Wow.
He just looked at me, he dropped his head, he looked back up at me, and he just nodded his head. And he went on to say, and this was September of 2009, he says, we got two betting pools on Wall Street. One says October, the economy collapses. The other pool is saying November. Well, that didn't happen because we had bailout city going on, bailing out corporations and banks and foreign corporations. I consider that to be the biggest ripoff ever witnessed by mankind. And you know what, Ken? Nobody got questioned about it. Nobody was brought in. Nobody was charged. Nobody went to court. Nobody was found guilty, and nobody went to jail. It's like it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, because if you go a few decades earlier with the savings and loan fiasco, plenty of people went to jail on that. But yeah, with the subprime scandal, which was a factory of fraud. You're probably aware of this, but maybe the average person isn't. I mean, these banks had whole factory floor sized operations doing basically illegal mortgage transfers in order to create these pools of mortgages to package and resell to pension plans and local governments and investors that were looking for, you know, supposedly grade A paper, and completely illegal, completely against all normal real estate practice. And yet no one's ever been taken to task for it. In fact, you have an advertiser. I was just listening on the break who apparently has a business of helping people untangle these messes. There are a lot of people that are paying on a mortgage. They don't even know the status of the mortgage. Who's really collecting the money? Was it recorded correctly? Are they paying the right amount? I mean, we completely gutted and destroyed one of the foundations of the American economy in broad daylight, and there were no consequences for anyone.
Well, and this has been a pet peeve of mine for a lot of years. The number one priority I see in this country is to dump this banking system. I've been on this tear for 30 years, three decades. It's a funny money system. They create money out of thin air and then loan it to you at interest. It's a scam, and it's illegal and unconstitutional, even in our own country, but yet we have the Federal Reserve. Now, we did see one president make a move against the banking system. I do believe his name was JFK, and I do believe they splattered his brains in Dealey Plaza on November 22nd, 1963. This guy, I mean, he faced down the Russians trying to put nuclear warheads in Cuba. He did a lot of things that people in retrospect don't remember Kennedy for some of these things. But the one thing Kennedy did, and Ken, in my book, after reading so much and hearing so much about John F. Kennedy and the death of JFK, my considered opinion about this after looking at all the information, it was to the banker's advantage to get rid of this guy that was challenging, well, their position. And I've looked at this, and I thought, you know, mortgages that you just mentioned, what a scam this is. You go get a conventional 30-year mortgage, and then they play a little game as to what interest rate you can get it at. But this is compounded interest, and you end up paying three times for the amount of the house, the original purchase price. And somehow that just doesn't seem right. There's this little game being played that, oh, well, you buy this house and, well, the market's going to rise. And, well, that means you could sell that house for more money and go buy a bigger house. Okay, but you still have me in this little rat trap with the compounded interest paying three times of what the damn property's worth. And it's the only thing. Ken, it's the only thing on the face of this planet, and correct me if I'm wrong here, maybe I haven't thought about it, but it's the only thing that increases with age. The value of it increases with age. Now, I know antiques do, but homes aren't considered antiques. You know, so here's this game that we've been playing, and I said, you know, if we had an honest money system, imagine this for a moment, Ken. I know this is hard to do, but you got a $10 bill in your hand. Well, it's worth $10 today, but 10 years from now, it'll be worth $10 as well. That would open up the door for investment. People with investment money could step into the market and say that you bought a $100,000 house and, you were borrowing that money, say, at a 10 or 15 year period, and they were going to charge you, say, 30%. So, in other words, $100,000 loan, 10 years, you got to pay them back $130,000. $30,000 return on a $100,000 investment, it's not too bad for a 10 or 15 year period.
Well, there's another angle to this, too. By making cheap and easy real estate credit available, they've inflated the cost of real estate. If you can buy something on terms, you know, all of a sudden the price doesn't matter so much. What matters is the monthly payment, at least to people that aren't thinking. And that's allowed real estate prices to inflate, you know, extravagantly. And, you know, if you bought in early, it's great, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're a younger person trying to get a home, it's ruinous. Now that's going to all change as our economy craters. And I mean, I've heard things like one out of six renters is not going to be able to pay their rent, is going to be facing eviction come the fall.
But wait a minute, Ken, don't you have any faith that the government's going to send you a check to bail you out?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting. I don't know. We are clearly going off a cliff economically, and I don't know. it's baffling. You know, you were talking about California, applies to other states, but California is one of the worst. I mean, they're literally cutting off their own arm. I mean, they live on tax revenue, and they're destroying the tax revenue. If the businesses can't stay open, they can't pay taxes. So what are they going to do? It's a high form of madness.
It's the inmates running the asylum. They have taken over. They have taken over the asylum, and they're now running it. And the problem that we're experiencing right now is we don't know how to stop it. Now,
yeah.
I say this, folks, following the Constitution of the United States, states have power where the federal government does not. The federal government should not intrude in on the state's power. But what do I see right now? Well, that was kind of understood by men that understood that we had a republic, a constitutional republic, not this democracy where you've convinced 51% of the people that, hey, my idea is better, and therefore it should be. I'm looking at this situation, and I'm going, wait a minute here. This is a double-edged sword. Now, if you take a look at the cities and the states, they're all run by flaming liberals that are continuing to keep their states shut down. They have absolutely no plan for any comeback of their states' economies. And now they're making noises to the federal government that, well, we need your help. What? They need our help?
Yeah.
I don't know how people like Newsom get elected. Is there that many brainless stupid people in California that they think socialism slash communism is a better way to go? How much tax revenue is that going to generate so they can spread that around?
You know, it's interesting. Newsom and Pelosi and some of the other, you know, monstrosities that have come out of California. Somebody did a very interesting video on this. They all come from organized crime family backgrounds. If you look to their parents and their grandparents, they were all people that were, you know, neck deep in criminal activity. And they've been sort of sheep dipped and whitewashed, and now suddenly they're, you know, squeaky clean politicians. So they come from a criminal mentality. But the weird thing about Newsom is he did own a business before he became a politician. So I just don't understand how separated from reality these politics, most of them are, because they've never held an honest day's job in their lives. They just seem completely divorced from reality, from financial reality. If people aren't working, they can't pay taxes. If businesses aren't operating, they can't pay taxes. If taxes aren't being paid, there's no revenue to run the government. I mean, what's complicated about this? But it seems to be very complicated indeed.
Well, Newsom, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I mean, Newsom makes Schwarzenegger look good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing. Hey, well, look, we're about out of time here, folks. Brass Check TV, brasscheck.com. You can sign up for their videos, be dropped in your email box, two a day, sometimes one, depending on how busy the man is. But that's going on every week, month after month. It's been going on, for 23 years. Take advantage of it. Go sign up on their site. And you can get the Brass Check videos dropped right in your box. And if you want to take a little time, and by the way, this other website is going to be posted on the Liberty Project as well, because there is a ton of jazz lovers out there. Personally, I don't like it. Never liked jazz. There is some select stuff that I like, but overall, eh. But at any rate, jazzonthetube.com, that's going to be included as well on that other website, my friend.
Great. That'll be good for jazz lovers.
Well, you know what? I think we need a little bit of entertaining distraction more than ever, because I think a bunch of people in this country are getting ready to just go absolutely psychotic, man. They're going to lose it.
Yeah. Well, remember, with country music, jazz is an all-American invention.
You got that right. And there, folks, I was just going on jazzonthetube.com yesterday and today. It is just absolutely loaded with stuff, videos, background. It's the most complete jazz site on the planet. Let me just leave you with that. Kim McCarthy, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
All righty, sir. That'll do it. We'll take the break here. Yep. Take the break. Back on the other side here, more news and information, but we have an announcement to make as well. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.